Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Fourth Revolution by John Micklethwaite examines why many modern governments struggle to deliver competent services, keep budgets under control, and retain public trust in a fast-changing world. The book argues that the state is due for another major transformation comparable to earlier revolutions that expanded its scope and reshaped its duties. Drawing on examples from multiple countries and political systems, it explores how globalization, aging populations, rising debt, and rapid technological change strain institutions built for earlier eras. Rather than framing the issue as simply big versus small government, Micklethwaite emphasizes effectiveness, accountability, and adaptability. He looks at where states work well, why some reforms succeed while others fail, and how leaders can rebuild legitimacy while doing more with less. The result is a policy-minded, globally-oriented discussion of how governments can be redesigned to match 21st century realities without abandoning core democratic and social commitments. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why the modern state is under pressure. A central theme is that the post-war model of government has reached practical limits. The book links today's fiscal and political stress to long-term forces that compound each other. Demographics push spending upward as societies age and health and pension obligations grow. At the same time, voters expect high-quality services, quick responses, and personalized outcomes, all while resisting higher taxes. Global competition raises the cost of inefficiency by making capital, jobs, and talent more mobile. When states fail to adjust, debt becomes the bridge between promises and revenues, creating fragility and reducing room for crisis response. The argument also emphasizes that trust is an operational resource. If citizens believe government cannot manage money, enforce rules fairly, or deliver basic competence, then even well-designed programs face backlash and non-compliance. The pressure is not only financial. Institutions built for slower eras struggle with complex supply chains, cross-border risks, and networked threats. In this framing, the crisis of the state is a mismatch between 20th century structures and 21st century demands, requiring redesign rather than temporary patching. Secondly, lessons from previous state revolutions. The book situates current debates within a longer arc of state development. Earlier revolutions expanded state capacity and legitimacy by redefining what government was for, how it organized power, and how it financed its ambitions. By looking at past turning points, the narrative highlights patterns that matter for contemporary reform. Successful changes usually combined new administrative tools with a revised social contract, and they were often triggered by external shocks such as war, economic upheaval, or intense competition. The historical lens also tempers nostalgia. Many institutions that now seem permanent were originally pragmatic answers to specific conditions, which means they can be altered when conditions change. This perspective encourages readers to separate ends from means. Goals like security, fairness, and opportunity can persist even if the delivery mechanisms must evolve. Another takeaway is that states grow not only by intent but by accumulation, adding programs and agencies without pruning. Over time, complexity becomes a hidden tax. The historical review therefore supports a modern agenda of simplification, clearer accountability, and a renewed focus on outcomes, while acknowledging that reform must respect political constraints and public expectations. Thirdly, what effective governments do differently? Rather than treating all governments as equally stuck, the book points to jurisdictions that appear to deliver better results and explores what distinguishes them. One recurring idea is that competence is built through clear priorities and disciplined execution. Effective states tend to measure performance, compare results, and use feedback to improve services. They are more willing to learn from private sector management tools while recognizing that public services have unique equity and legitimacy requirements. Another distinguishing feature is transparency and straightforward lines of responsibility. When citizens can see who is accountable for a policy and when data makes outcomes visible, it becomes harder for failure to hide in bureaucratic fog. The book also stresses the importance of professional administration, merit-based hiring, strong budget processes, and institutions that resist short-term political cycles. In addition, effective governments often decentralize intelligently, pushing decisions closer to users when local knowledge matters, but keeping national standards where fairness and scale are essential. Taken together, these traits form a practical definition of a capable state, one that focuses on core functions, builds managerial strength, and earns trust through consistent delivery. Fourthly, reinventing public services for a digital and networked era. The book argues that technology and new organizational models make it possible to redesign government operations, but only if leaders tackle incentives and legacy structures. Digital tools can reduce transaction costs, simplify citizen interactions, and improve targeting of benefits and enforcement. However, the deeper point is not about websites or apps. It is about reorganizing processes so that services are built around user needs rather than agency boundaries. This implies shared data standards, interoperable systems, and a culture that rewards problem-solving over rule-following. The book also highlights the potential of partnerships. Governments can set goals, regulate, and finance while collaborating with nonprofits and private providers for delivery, provided accountability is strong. Yet modernization carries risks that must be managed, including privacy concerns, unequal access, and over-reliance on vendors. Reinvention therefore demands governance of technology, not just adoption. Another theme is that innovation works best when combined with simplification. If outdated programs and overlapping mandates remain, digitization can merely automate dysfunction. The book's reform outlook favors making government easier to navigate, quicker to respond, and more resilient by treating policy, operations, and technology as one integrated system. Lastly, political strategy and the hard trade-offs of reform, a major obstacle to state reinvention, is political. The book emphasizes that reform is not simply a technical exercise of finding efficiencies. It involves confronting organized interests, overcoming status quo bias, and persuading voters that change will not betray core protections. The most painful trade-off is between immediate comfort and long-term sustainability. Cutting waste sounds easy, but the largest expenditures are usually politically sensitive entitlements and public services. The book therefore frames reform as a sequence: build credibility through early wins, communicate a clear narrative about fairness, and align incentives so agencies and politicians gain from better outcomes. Another challenge is polarization, which turns administrative questions into identity battles. The proposed remedy is to focus on competence and measurable results rather than ideological purity. The book also suggests that legitimacy is rebuilt when citizens see government playing to its strengths, protecting vulnerable people, ensuring rule of law, and enabling opportunity while avoiding mission creep. The political message is that reinvention requires leadership willing to explain trade-offs, design institutions that constrain bad habits, and make the state both smaller in some areas and stronger in the ones that matter most. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want a big picture, international view of why governments struggle and what practical reform could look like. Policy professionals, business leaders navigating regulation, students of political economy, and citizens frustrated by waste or declining trust will find it especially useful. Its main benefit is helping readers replace vague arguments about big government or small government with a clearer question: what should the state do, and how can it do those tasks well? By linking fiscal realities, institutional design, and public legitimacy, the book offers a framework for evaluating proposals on taxes, entitlements, public services, and administrative reform. It can also sharpen how readers assess headlines by showing how demographic change, debt, and globalization shape what is politically and economically feasible. Compared with similar books that focus narrowly on one country or one ideology, The Fourth Revolution stands out for its comparative approach and emphasis on competence on competence. It does not treat reform as a single magic policy, but as a redesign challenge that blends history, management, and politics. That breadth makes it a worthwhile purchase for anyone seeking a grounded, actionable way to think about reinventing the state. If you would like to support John Micklethwaite, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.